Praise God. Let's raise a hallelujah. And you know, as we were singing that song, there's a certain word that is in there called mystery. The mystery. Why do we praise? To a lot of people, it's a mystery of Christianity, a mystery of why we sing, rejoice. Easter is a mystery. And so tonight, I want to share with you what is not a mystery and what has been revealed to us by the Spirit of the living God. As I said up front before our praise and worship, why did Jesus Christ have to go to the cross? Why did he have to die on the cross? I want to share something with you tonight that is very sobering, but it's a joy when we get down and understand what Jesus did. But if you're viewing me and you don't know Jesus Christ, or you're kind of on the outskirts of Christianity, kind of standing out looking in and say, what is this Christianity all about? What is this cross all about? What is this resurrection and Easter all about? Well, I'm going to tell you right now, it is more than just finding eggs. It is something that God did for us because of his great love, because of his mercy, and because of his grace. Now, number one, which a lot of people don't talk about this, but one of the main reasons, one of the great elements of the fact that Jesus went to the cross is this. He went to the cross and died because he would deliver us and save us from God's wrath. Wow, from the wrath of God. And you say, well, why God's wrath? Well, because God is a holy and just and righteous God. And because God is holy and righteous and just, then, number one, he hates sin, and therefore he must punish sin, and he must punish and judge sinners. The Bible tells us that. If I'm outside of Jesus Christ, literally I am living underneath the wrath of God. Let me prove that to you in Scripture. Listen to this. The Bible tells us in Romans, the first chapter, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. What does it say here? It tells us that ungodliness and unrighteousness was literally released into the earth by the sin of Adam. But what does unrighteousness and ungodliness do? Ungodliness and unrighteousness will always suppress truth. Now, here's what you need to ask yourself. What is truth? That's what Pilate said before he was going to crucify Jesus. He said, what is truth? Truth, my friend, is the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father except through me. Truth is God's word. It is, Jesus was the word, and so we have God's word, and when we read God's word, that is the absolute, infallible truth of God. The truth of God. And so the Bible says that when I'm in ungodliness and unrighteousness, I suppress the truth. I put the truth away from me. I don't want to hear the truth, which means I don't want to hear anything about Jesus Christ. But my friend, if you know the truth, if you know Jesus, the truth, Jesus will set you free. And not only that, will he set you free, but as I apply the truth of God's word in my life, it keeps me free. Praise God. I love that. So it says that the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. So after the fall of Adam, you go back to first man, first woman. That's where we all came from. We didn't come from an amoeba. We didn't come from a salamander. We didn't come from some cells or whatever in a swamp. We came from a human being. Human beings beget human beings. Just like birds beget birds, fish beget fish, and you could go on and on and on, even with fruit trees. Apples, apple seed begets an apple, orange seed, an orange. Go on and on. You did not come from a monkey. You didn't come from some animal, okay? You did not evolve. You came from a human being, and the first human being was Adam and Eve on this earth, and God gave them lordship, gave them authority over the works of his hands. He created the whole earth. He created the earth for man. Listen, there is no purpose for the earth without humanity. So God created the earth for human beings. And then he created Adam and Eve and gave them authority over the works of his hand. They were given lordship over the earth. And so it's important to understand that whatever Adam would do, whatever decision he would make, his behavior, whatever acts that he did, it would be passed down to every single one of us. And when he sinned against God, then that sin and the nature of that sin was passed down to every single human being. So therefore, every human being is born into this earth with the sin nature of Adam. Therefore, that means we're separated from God. We're separated from his love. We're separated from his righteousness. We're separated from his holiness. Therefore, we are underneath the wrath of Almighty God. Listen to what Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 12 says. Therefore, just as through one man, speaking of Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, that not only means physical death, but it also means spiritual death. Spiritual death is to be separated from God. And that's the reason the Bible says your iniquities have separated you from your God. And the wages of sin is death. Sin does pay, but it's death and it's destruction. So he says, thus death spread to all men because all sin. Listen to Romans, the 3rd chapter, verse 10 and verse 12, when Paul is describing that there is none righteous. When we're born into this earth, we are not born righteous. We can't, just have righteousness instilled to us by our parents. No way. That because the blood is tainted with the sin. And so therefore it says this. Paul said, there is none righteous, not one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks after God. That's because we're living in darkness. That's because we're spiritually separated from God. Matter of fact, we're not seeking him. We're running from him. He's the one that's seeking us. Okay? It says they have turned aside. Turned aside from what? Turned aside from the life of God. They've turned aside. They have together become unprofitable. There is none who does good, no, not one. In other words, when he says none that does good, yeah, we can do good things. We can do random acts of kindness. We can help people, feel sorry for people. We can feed people. We can do some good social works. But the good he's talking about, none that does good, that means the standard of the life that God has given for us to live. We can't live that life apart from him. Listen to Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verse 6. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. And then when we go over into the book of Revelation, it depicts again and again the wrath of God that is being poured out on evil and an unrepentant race. Man, it is amazing when you read the book of Revelation and you see that people will not turn when all the wrath of God's being poured out. The Bible says they even curse God. They shake their fists at him. So the wrath of God, remember this, the wrath of God is the continuing expression of God's holiness and God's righteousness against all evil and against sin. Listen to Revelation 6 chapter, verse 15 and 17. And the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the commanders and the mighty men, every slave and every free man, hid himself in the caves and in the rocks in the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us, hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath has come. Who is able to stand? See, the Bible says in Romans 1:18 that the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven. But there's coming a day, my friend, there's coming a day, and the way that I see things right now, that day could be very quick. It could be so fast upon us. But listen, it says this. It says that in that day, in the what we call the Great Tribulation, the wrath of God is going to be poured out upon all unrepentant, all evil, all ungodliness, and all unrighteousness, and all who suppress the truth of God. But now listen, thanks be to God, God never, ever desired to pour out His wrath on us. But He has to because of His holiness, His righteousness, and Him being just. Justice, okay, against sin. But now God is also love. God is merciful. God is full of grace for the whole human race. That's the reason we have Jesus. That's the reason we have this Friday night when Jesus was crucified. Oh my gracious. You know, the same time the Passover lamb was being crucified, was being killed, is the same identical time that Jesus is being crucified on Golgotha. Oh my gracious, that is absolutely amazing. God never desired for us, His created beings, to suffer His wrath, to suffer under the wrath of Satan, to be a slave to sin and sickness, guilt and shame and condemnation, because He is a loving God. He is a merciful Heavenly Father. Therefore, He brings all the world, everything He brings to us, to the whole world, He brings His loving kindness. He brings His Son, Jesus Christ, and He brings the cross. His divine love, my friend, and mercy has been evidenced from the very beginning when the first sin took place. When Adam sinned and Adam fell, what did God do? You can read it in Genesis, the 3rd chapter, verse 21. God killed an innocent animal. An animal was sacrificed out of God's creation for Adam and Eve. Why? Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. Somebody had to die. He was either going to have to kill Adam and Eve, which means he wiped out the whole human race. He was either going to have to kill them, or someone was going to have to die and take their place for the sin. And it was an innocent animal. And God Himself provided Himself with a sacrifice. God Himself killed that lamb. He killed it, and then He took the skin off of that animal, and He covered Adam and Eve with the skin, and that blood was still on that skin, and He covered them, which is an indication of Him doing what He needed to do to cover their sin so that He could still deal with them without killing them. And that's what the blood says mercy. The blood says grace. The blood says forgiveness. So God was able to deal with them because of that. But now listen, the skin could only cover. The blood of an animal could only cover their sin. It could not cleanse it. It could do nothing about their guilty conscience. They were still guilty before God. It could do nothing about their shame, and they knew that they were condemned. It could not do anything about the condemnation whatsoever. So the animal was a token of His tender love and care. And then when Moses, the Passover lamb, and then also remember when Moses was on the mountain, he said, "I want to see Your glory." What did God proclaim to him in Exodus 34, verse 6? The Lord, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. And then when we get over into the New Testament, God's love is further emphasized and that it relates to all mankind. And the climatic statement of this is undoubtedly in John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Praise God. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe on Him should not perish, but have everlasting eternal life. You know, the Bible tells us that God wishes that none would perish. None at all. That's the reason he sent Jesus Christ. And man, it's so amazing. And this love is all the more shown in the world. God, listen, God, it says right there, God loved. He loved us when we were sinners. He loved us when we were far away from Him. He loved us when we were under the bondage of Satan and we were sinners. He loved us. And that's the reason He sent Jesus. That's the reason I'm standing here and telling you this on the Friday when Jesus was crucified. Listen to what Paul said. He said, God demonstrates His own love for us that while we were still sinners, praise God, while we were still sinners, God demonstrates His own love that Christ died for us. So God's love, my friend, is beyond all comprehension. The love of God in relationship to us as sinners, when we were sinners, reaches across this great divide and embraces all people with His grace and with His mercy. What was the bridge that came across that chasm to get us over to God? It was the cross of Jesus Christ. It was the death of Jesus on that cross. And then later on Sunday, there was the resurrection from the dead. Praise God. So therefore, the cross of Jesus Christ was God's answer to the whole world's problem. And the world's problem is sin. And because of sin, there's selfishness, there's depression, there's racism, there's ambulances, there's cemeteries, there's hatred, there's fighting, there's strife, there's bickering, there's depression. Because of what? Because of sin. All of that comes from sin. People operating in sin. And that's the reason the Bible tells us that God so loved us that He wanted to take care of this problem. His solution was Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God. Listen to what John said when he saw Jesus coming toward him. And Jesus was coming to be baptized. And John said this, Behold, everybody look, behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Tonight, I'm introducing to you, if you don't know Him, I'm introducing to you the Lamb of God who takes away your sin. The Lamb of God who was your substitute. The Lamb of God who was beaten beyond comprehension. The Bible says He was beaten and bruised and beat up so much that you couldn't even recognize that He was a man. He did that because someone had to receive and be punished, receive the punishment, receive the judgment, and receive the wrath of God for the whole human race. And Jesus did that. That's the reason when Jesus was in the garden, He was praying, Father, if there's any other way for this to be done without me having to go through this, Lord, is there? And then He comes right back and He says, nevertheless, not my will, but Your will be done. Jesus suffered on the cross for you and I. All the lashes that came upon Him, that He was whipped, He did that for you and I. And God, the Bible says, it pleased God, Isaiah 53, it pleased God to bruise Him. And the chastisement, the punishment of our sin was upon Him. Praise God. And peace came after that. That's what Jesus did for us. That's the reason it says the joy that was set before Him. The joy He endured the cross. The joy of seeing you and I and the whole human race delivered. It's a gift. You can't earn it. You can't get it by any other way other than through Jesus Christ. He is the only sacrifice for the sin of the whole world. Every religion in the world tells you what you have to do to earn things from God and literally depicts God as mean and ready to get people. But ladies and gentlemen, listen to me very carefully, because the wrath of God was appeased. The wrath of God was poured out upon Jesus. My Jesus, your Jesus, Jesus for the whole world. No other religion has that. Every religion just tells you, you must do this and you must do that. Christianity tells you, this is what God has done. This is what Jesus went through, and this is what Jesus did so that you could be set free. And all I can do is receive what he did, his finished work, and say, Jesus is Lord. Praise God. And all I can do is say, thank you, Father. Thank you. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you that I am no longer subject to the wrath of God. I am no longer subject to the judgment and the penalty of sin because Jesus took that for me. Wow. That's grace. That is mercy beyond my comprehension. 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, verse 7 says, for indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. And ladies and gentlemen, it was once for all. It was one time for all people. Jesus does not keep coming back and going to the cross. It was one time. And he said, when it was over, he bowed his head, gave up his spirit, and said, it is finished. It's finished. It's over. It's not a sequel. There won't be summer reruns. It's not going to come back and back and back and back like they did in the Old Testament of the high priest going in year after year after year after year after year providing atonement for the children of Israel. That praise God that we saw that, and that is a representative of Jesus Christ to come. And what about that word atonement? At one meant. At one meant. That means that we were created to be one with God. Jesus came to get us back into the family of God. Jesus came to present us to our Heavenly Father by His blood and what He did on the cross so that we could be one with God together, never to be separated ever again. He took the sin of the whole world. He took your sin. He took my sin. He took sin. Past, present, future. The blood of Jesus continues to cleanse from all sin. I don't know about you. That is such good news. That causes me to rest. Man, to rest in God. And now, because of that love, I love Him so much. I don't want to run out here and get into sin and bondage again. I don't want to do that. I don't want to hurt His heart. I want to live out now by His power and by the power of the Holy Spirit what He's done for me, and I want to love people the way He loved me and forgave me. I want to forgive people even if they're my enemies and they do something to me. I want to release them and forgive them because God released and forgave me. There's no way that I could calculate all the sin that was in my life. Man, and God did that for me. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:12, He entered once for all into the holy place. Hebrews, the 9th chapter, verse 26 said, He appeared once for all at the end of the age to put away sin by the sacrifice of Himself. And then Paul writes in Romans, the 6th chapter, verse 10, he says this, the death that He died to sin once for all. It's done. It's over. You know, I hear people say this, you know, if I can get better, then I'll come to church. If I can get better, then I'll let you pray with me. And I say, you can't get better. It's impossible. The only way that you get better is when you confess Jesus as Lord. The Spirit of God comes to live on the inside of you. Your spirit man right here gets born again on the inside of you. The spirit man created in the image of God is born again. Your eyes, your spiritual eyes are open, and you begin to see things differently than you've ever seen before. You can't do enough good things to be righteous enough to be forgiven by God. It's what God did. He provided Himself for a sacrifice. Man, He provided Himself a sacrifice. So you and I receive it by grace through faith. Grace is God's unmerited favor. Grace gives to me what I did not deserve. You can't earn it. It's a free gift from God. And His mercy is He did not give to me what I did deserve. Thank you, thank you, Jesus. So God has forgiven us. Jesus was a sacrifice once and for all. Praise God. That is so incredible. Listen to Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 8 through 10. It says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners." Listen, when you were sitting in places and you were in darkness, you were doing ungodly things, God still loved you because you were created in His image. That's the reason He came after you. You didn't come to God. He came to you. People say, you know, when I found the Lord. You didn't find the Lord. The Lord found you. But God saw every place we were. He will go to... There's nothing that He will not spare, His own Son. But He goes to every single length, whatever it is, depth, height, to find you, to get somebody to come across your path, to put me right here talking to you right now about what Good Friday is all about, why Jesus Christ was crucified, why He died. My friend, God is there is live streaming going out all over the world right now from churches from everywhere. All over the world. You know why? Because God loves you. God loves every one of us. And it's also good news to those of us who have been saved who still live under the torment of fear of punishment and judgment. Once you are cleansed of your sin, you are no longer subject to the wrath of God. I'm going to show you this right now. It says, "But God demonstrates His own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, God, Christ died for us much more than having been justified by His blood." That's legally. "We shall be saved from wrath through Him." We shall be saved. We shall be delivered from the wrath of God. My friend, you've been delivered from the wrath of God if Jesus is your Lord. But if Jesus is not your Lord, you're still living under that wrath. You're still living under the curses. And you may think, well, I've got it together. I can do it. You think that until the day you stand before God. And if you stand before God without the blood of Jesus and Jesus Christ being your Lord, then there is eternal death. That means that you will be separated from God, just like the devil, forever and ever and ever. God does not want that. He loves you. Oh, my gracious. Listen to me. He loves you so much. Jesus Christ went to that cross because He loves you. That's the love of God. That's what most people don't know. We don't even learn it a lot. You don't learn it in religion. Religion is always telling you about the punishment and the judgment. Jesus is telling you, "I have forgiven you." God is telling you, "I've given you my grace. I've given you my mercy. I have shed abroad my love on the inside of you like a major waterfall." He says, "So we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if then we were enemies, we were reconciled." Reconciled means to be brought back into a friendly relationship. Praise God. A friendly relationship. Jesus said, "If you obey my commands, you're my friends." And He says, "For when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son. Much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life." And the word "saved" there is sozo in the Greek. And it means to be delivered, to be healed, to be made whole, spirit, soul, and body. From the top of my head to the soles of my feet. It includes all of me. That's what the word sozo. It means prosperity. It means protection. It covers every area of life. Sozo. We are saved by His life through the blood of Jesus. So therefore, we are delivered on this earth through Jesus Christ from the wrath of God. We're no longer subject to the wrath of God, and we are delivered from the wrath of God that is going to come upon the earth. We just read in the book of Revelation. Listen to this. In 1 Thessalonians, the first chapter, verse 10. And to wait for his Son from heaven, that means the return of the Lord Jesus Christ, to wait for his Son from heaven, who he raised from the dead. Sunday's coming. He raised from the dead, even Jesus. Now listen to this. This is so important. Who delivers us from the wrath to come. He delivered us from the wrath of God now, and he delivered us from the wrath of God that is to come upon this earth. That is the book of Revelation. How do we know that? Well, when God's wrath was poured out and there was a flood, he lifted Noah and his family, eight of them, he lifted them up above the wrath, above the circumstances and the flood and the waters, and everything drowned. Everything was wiped out, but not Noah and his family. In Sodom and Gomorrah, that was such wicked cities, Lot and his family were removed before the fire of God came down and destroyed those cities. So God delivers his people from the wrath, from his wrath. Even in Egypt, when the wrath of God, the plagues were being poured out, and God is not the one who brought this plague. The Bible says God tempts no one with evil, okay? God allowed the destroyer to come in because Egypt did not know him, would not want to know him, denied him whatsoever. But now think about this. Israel was over in the land of Goshen, and while the plagues were being poured out, they were separated. And the plagues were being poured out in Egypt. No plagues came in Goshen. Why? Because of the blood of the Lamb. Praise God. But now, not only did Jesus forgive us, take all of our sins, and he took our place when the wrath of God was poured out, that we're no longer subject to the wrath of God. You know what you're subject to? You're subject to the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God. Oh my gracious. The promises of God. Jesus became, the Bible says in Galatians, the third chapter, Jesus became a curse for us. For cursed is he who hangs on a tree. Jesus on the cross took the whole curse of Deuteronomy 28. The whole curse. And if you ever read that, it is absolutely amazing, because in that curse is every sickness and disease known to man. And you've got to know that Jesus took that upon his body to deliver us not only from sin, but the effects of sin, from sickness, disease, and infirmity, and the power of Satan. Listen to Matthew, the 8th chapter, verse 16. It says this, when evening had come, they brought to him many who were demon-possessed, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the Isaiah the prophet, which is Isaiah 53. He himself, Jesus, took our infirmities. You know what the word took means? It means to seize. He seized every sickness, every disease, every infirmity known to man, and put it upon himself. God put it upon him. He took it and seized it upon himself so that you and I could be healed. Praise God. He himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses. Listen to 1 Peter 2:24 and verse 25. Who himself bore our sins, that's salvation, that's the sins. He bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, having died to sins, might live for righteousness. By whose stripes? This is spiritual, physical, mental. By whose stripes you were healed. Praise God. You were healed. You're not getting healed. You were healed on the cross. You're not even though we received salvation, but we were saved 2,000 years ago. Why can't we believe that we were healed 2,000 years ago? We were, praise God. That's the reason when sickness attacks me, I rebuke it in the name of Jesus. I'll have people lay hands on me, or I'll have the pastors anoint me with oil, or I will address it myself and speak to the mountain in the name of Jesus, be thou removed, be gone. And I said, Father, I receive my healing. It belongs to me. I was healed on the cross. So therefore, I receive my healing, and I declare that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. I'm healed by the stripes of Jesus. I receive my healing, praise God. Every day I do that until I see the manifestation. And I declare, sickness, infirmity, disease, you cannot live in my body. I'm telling you right now, you can't live in my body. I declare right now that I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. No weapon formed against me can prosper. In Jesus' name, I am healed. God heals all my diseases. I am healed by the stripes of Jesus. I thank you, Father. And I just thank him and thank him and thank him until I see the manifestation of what I'm believing for. Then it goes on to say, for you were like sheep going astray, but have now returned to the shepherd and the overseer of your souls. We are sheep gone astray. My friend, if you have never received Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life, this is, and I'm just asking all of you that have received Jesus as Lord and Savior, would you just pray right now with me? Let's just pray for those that are watching me all over the world that have not been saved. Listen, if you're not saved, if Jesus is not your Lord, you're living under the wrath of God. You're living under the curses. Why would you want to do that? And if you die in your sin, you will go to a place created for the devil and all the demons in this earth. It is a place called hell. God does not want you in that place. That's the reason he put his son on the cross. That's the reason he put all sickness, and that's the reason the God's wrath came upon Jesus, so that it would not come upon you. Man, come on into the family of God where there is protection and there is rest, and learn how to live by faith and walk by faith and be a part of the family of God. And before the wrath of God is poured out upon this earth, Jesus is coming to take us away. And then that wrath will be poured out. You want to go. You don't want to stay. If you've never received Jesus as the Lord of your life, I want you to pray with me right now. I want you to pray. Listen, you may say, well, I grew up in a Christian home. That does not get you into heaven. It won't get you in the family of God. You know, well, I do some good things. We just addressed that a while ago. Good things won't get you into heaven. Your works cannot get you into heaven. The only thing that gets you into heaven is the blood of Jesus. That's the only thing. And receiving Jesus as Lord. Well, I've joined a church. That won't get you into heaven. Well, I've been confirmed in a religion. That won't get you into heaven. The only thing that gets you into heaven is when you repent of your sins and ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Pray with me right now. And all of us are going to pray together with you. Pray with me right now. Father God, I thank you for Jesus Christ. I thank you for the cross. I believe that Jesus is the Son of the living God, that he died for me, and you raised him from the dead. And right now, I confess Jesus Christ as Lord of my life. My friend, if you pray that with me, the Bible says you are born again and you are saved and you're in the family of God. Now, those of you that are watching me that have been born again, if you've been living in sin or backslidden, God will forgive you if you repent of your sins. It says that in 1 John. He is faithful and just to forgive you of your sins if you repent, because the blood of Jesus continues to cleanse. So I want you to pray this with me. Father God, right now, I repent of my sin, and I ask your forgiveness in Jesus' name. My friend, my brother, my sister, if you prayed that, pow, the blood of Jesus cleansed from all sin. And now I want to pray for you that are sick and afflicted, because Jesus took your infirmities, disease or whatever it may be. I'm going to pray for you right now. Father, in the name of Jesus, you know, you've heard my prayer. I'm believing for miracles. Father, you see everybody right now that is watching me, that is hearing my voice, And Lord, I'm praying right now for healing to flow into their bodies. I say in the name of Jesus Christ, be healed and be made whole. Satan, I bind you. I bind every demonic spirit. I bind every demonic spirit of sickness, disease, and infirmity. And I command you, loose them now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. I said, loose them, be gone, and return no more in Jesus' name. I command every cell of cancer, die in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, heal every body part. Heal every organ. Heal them from the top of their head to the soles of their feet in the name of Jesus. My brother and sister, I loose you from that infirmity. I loose you from that sickness. I loose you from that disease. And I say, be healed and be made whole. In the name of Jesus. Father, I thank you right now for healing flowing. I thank you for the Holy Spirit and the power of the Holy Spirit quickening their mortal body. I thank you right now for demonic spirits. Go in Jesus' name and loose them. Father, I pray right now and I thank you right now for your healing power flowing and healing in the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. I just know in my heart, people just got healed. I want you to go up on our website and write that praise report in the name of Jesus. If you couldn't do something, if you had pain, bend over, check yourself. Check yourself out right now and start praising and worshiping God. It makes all the difference in the world. Amen. Hey, don't forget, Sunday morning, man, 8:30 a.m., 11 a.m., 2 p.m., and 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Resurrection Sunday. Praise God. You better get your dancing shoes on. You better get your shouting hat on and get your towel because we're going to have some fun. We're going to worship. We're going to pray. We're going to thank God for resurrection in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? I love you all very, very much. And remember, we have been delivered and set free from the wrath of God. Praise God. God bless you.